So I asked you, have you ever lost someone? It hurts. We all have friends, neighbors, family members. You don't have to go through the grieving process alone. And our church, again, is sponsoring a support group starting August the 27th and running through November the 19th. The time frame will be from 10 o'clock in the morning until 11:30 that day. And it'll be each Wednesday, starting in August through November. And it'll finish up the week before Thanksgiving. It'll go for approximately 13 weeks. And it will be held at our church, and Joey's most graciously consented to let us use the lighthouse. And we look forward to that. It's private. There won't be people in and out, and some things that are discussed are of a sensitive nature. And so we'll be upstairs and can do what we so desire on a spiritual, relating to a spiritual need. It's spiritually motivated and sometimes and most often deals with sensitive real-world needs. And then each of us grieve differently, and that's been well brought out. Some of you have experienced this opportunity. But, you know, each of us grieve differently, and one of the primary points of focus will be, as we go through these sessions, what is the new normal in your life after losing a loved one? Well, this opportunity will be open to anyone who chooses to attend. And there are other churches that I've talked to this week that are going to make this actual presentation or give the facts concerning the opportunity that's available, and hopefully we can have anywhere from 6 to 12 people. Well, the only cost that's involved will be a manual, which is approximately $15. And then if you so desire, there's scholarship money available if you can't afford that expense. Peggy Joyce will be our co-facilitator, my co-facilitator. We work together well, and so I asked myself this week, I wanted to know the explanation of a facilitator. So I kind of did a little research and looked that up. And it, when you think about it, it's to make things easier. That's what our hope and desire is to do. And to make sure that everyone's opinions are heard. And then we prepare to make meetings run smoothly and spiritually motivated and led. Peggy, will you stand up? She's our co-facilitator. The others have been the Cravens, the Cabellas. Several other people have been involved in the process, and there are several facilitators that will be trained to help with this effort in future sessions. But I ask that each of you, if you know of somebody that has lost a loved one, of somebody that you think that this ministry, and that's what it is, will be a benefit to, I ask that you call the church office, 647-3774. I think most of you know what that is. It's not BR549. But you think about that, or you can go to the website, www.griefshare.org. Call and talk to Ruby or Sandy in the office. They'll give you the details to sign up. And then several people have expressed to us the opportunity. They'd like to have the opportunity to come in the morning so that they won't be out at night. Some people don't see. I don't drive as well as I used to at night. So they'll have the opportunity to come during the morning sessions. And then we'll get out in the daytime, and we ask that anyone who wants to participate, please do so. And, you know, these facilitators that we have, that they're all certified, they've all had training, and the way I look at things, practical experience is more important and more relative than anything else. And the facilitators that we have that are not in training have had practical experience. All of them in the courses that's been held in the spring and the fall of the year. And this will be, I think, the first time. I think the Cabellas did it one time before in the morning, but this will be the first time that perhaps it's been open to the entire community in the morning. Please understand that. But again, if you have anyone who might be interested, have them give our church office a call and register, and then check out that website. And I think this morning I feel motivated. I'd just like to have a word of prayer before I sit down. Think about it. Consider it. Pass that opportunity on to others whom you think might be in need. So let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we're close to the beginning of a new church year, I ask that we, as servant leaders, that you guide us in the use of our individual talents to glorify your name. And I think of new opportunities. I think of new beginnings and new motivation to serve. Our church, dear God, is just blessed with so many capable leaders. And then as our children and teachers begin a new school year, I ask that you give them the strength for the task, the will to persevere. And then, our Father, I ask that you give them the patience to contend. Help us as we endeavor to serve, to be proper Christians, to serve with the influence and example that you would have us use. And help us to go boldly before your throne of grace for guidance. Help us to remember that all things work for good for them that love the Lord, and then, our Father, them that are called according to your purpose. And then, as you tell us in Romans, if you're with us, who can be against us? That's most prominent in my mind this morning. You give us the strength. You give us the encouragement. You give us the wisdom that we need to be an effective witness for you. Guide us, Lord. Direct our paths and give us the direction that we need in attempting to serve. And these things we ask in your holy and precious name, as we know you are the author and will be the finisher of our faith. Help us to think. Help us to be motivated to do according to the individual talents and the will that you give us. For this we ask in thy name and for thy sake. Amen.
Tell you that I am very proud of you this morning because I think I didn't have a lot of faith in you. I thought when we came in here this morning, it was going to be very sparse. But look at the youth over here. I mean, that is awesome. Thank y'all for coming out this morning, even though it's raining. I'm getting a little nudge. And I keep going, no, this isn't a good Sunday for it. But I keep getting a nudge, so I guess I'm going to do it. This morning when I was having my devotions, this little chorus came to my mind, and I was singing in it. And it's a praise chorus. I don't know if y'all remember. It's from a long time ago, really, because when I was little, it was a long time ago. Do y'all remember the chorus? Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Y'all are bouncing your heads. You remember it. Okay. I was afraid you might not remember it. But, it's kind of rainy this morning, and I think we need to sort of be lifted up just a little bit. When I was probably 6 years old, this was my favorite song in the whole entire world. And so sometimes the choir director would ask on Sunday mornings, okay, who has a favorite song that you want to sing? My hand would be up like this. And at first, you know, he'd call on me and, okay, Miss Penny, what you want to sing? And I'd go, I want to do the Hallelujah song. And he'd go, okay. And so the next time he did it, I'd raise my hand and he'd try to call on somebody else, but my hand would be the only one that was raising. He'd keep going, anybody? Anybody? And so he'd go, okay, Miss Penny, what do you want to sing? And I think I heard him, overheard him say one time in the microphone, underneath the microphone, I am sorry for the day I ever taught that child that song. The reason I loved it so much was, yes, it was a praise song, and I don't know, it just lifted my heart even when I was 6 years old. But, and I'm not going to make you do this, so don't get scared, when you sang the hallelujah part, you had to stand up and then sit down. And then when you sang the praise ye the Lord, you had to stand up and then you had to sit down. And so you had to remember, because it's tricky, you had to remember. So I'm not going to make you do the stand up and sit down this morning. You are going to stand in a few minutes, but we're just going to kind of go through this just to lift our hearts on this rainy day. All right, these two sides right here are going to be the hallelujahs. These two sides right here are going to be the praise ye the Lord. Choir, I'm going to divide y'all down the middle. This side's going to be the praise ye the Lord. This side's going to be the hallelujah. Okay, so everybody got that? I'll point to you. Now, if you remember it, really sing out, okay, to help the neighbor that doesn't remember it. All right. All right, we're going to get our hearts pumping a little bit this morning. Praise ye the Lord. When we get to the last praise ye the Lord, we're going to stand up and just sing the last praise ye the Lord all together. All right, you ready? Here we go. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Okay, now, yay, these people right here. Y'all stood up, okay? Y'all stood up, and we did the praise ye Lord. All right, we're going to do it one more time. We may be here a little while this morning. Okay, you ready? I'm just excited to be here this morning. Okay, Ray, let's try it again. Here we go. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Oh my goodness, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir did not have a thing on you this month. That was awesome. Okay, for our hymn of praise this morning, we're not done. We've got a hymn of praise. We're going to sing Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. We're going to sing three verses of that. Then we're going to go into a very familiar chorus to a Christmas hymn, O Come Let Us Adore Him.
Oh, my soul praise Him, for He is thy help. Amen. He is worthy. He's worthy to be praised this morning. He's worthy of everything that we have that we can give him in our praise and our love and our affection towards him. So I want to thank those that are maybe visiting this morning. Thank you for being here this morning. What a great crowd this morning. I was kind of the same boat. I was thinking maybe the crowd's going to be down from the rain and all the mess this last few days, but prove me wrong, and I'm glad. I'm glad that you're here to worship with us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this morning we just love you, God. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. God, I woke up early this morning just ready to come worship you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those that are here in these pews, and we ask you, Lord, just to touch our hearts this morning, God, as we hear your word preached and we hear your word as it's being sang. So, Father, we ask you, Lord, everything that we do this morning will just glorify you. God, that you would hear us and you would dwell amongst us, Lord. Lord, your word says we're two or three and gathered in your name. God, you're in the midst. So, Father, we feel you this morning, God, and we ask you, Lord, just to magnify that feeling in our hearts. Father, we thank you for this such a great opportunity again in Jesus' name. Amen.
For our offertory hymn, we'll sing one verse of The Greatest Thing in All My Life. Let's stand.
Scripture reading this morning is from Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, all will be measured back to you. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this time that we can come into your house and praise you and worship you, Lord. And we just thank you for your blessings and your Holy Spirit, the way it watches over us. We thank you for answered prayer, Lord. We pray especially now for those that are in need of your healing in this congregation. And Lord, we just pray that you'll watch over them, bless them, strengthen them, and comfort their caregivers. And Lord, we thank you now for this offering that's about to be received. We pray that you'll bless the gift and the giver. In your name we pray. Amen.
As the choir makes its way down, I'd like to call your attention to the flowers that are placed in front of us this morning. They are here today in memory of Mr. Dickie Rohrer. Today is his and Blondina's 68th anniversary, and his birthday will be Tuesday, I believe, the 10th. And so, the 12th. Today's the 10th. But please be in prayer for Blondina and the family. I know that this is bittersweet. They remember and they have tears along with those memories. But we just appreciate Blondina and the family placing the flowers here. They're beautiful and they adorn the house of the Lord, and we appreciate that so much. Thank you for placing those here today in memory of Brother Dickie. Let me give you some things to just be in prayer about, just some things to update you on. Please continue to pray for Joey and Betty Vi. Joey with his the need for a heart replacement, and Betty, the need for back surgery. And both of those are kind of in the works, and we hope that those will take place soon. So continue to pray for them. I think both of them are not feeling well today. So please pray for them. Earl Draper is at home and doing, I think, as well as he can do at this point, but certainly we ask you to continue to pray for him and ask God to bless him in his journey as he continues to live with the heart issues that he has. And we also ask you to remember those who have experienced the passing of a loved one in our very recent future. The Atkins family, the passing of Bobby, and Blondina's family lost a niece to death, to cancer, Jackie Shorter. Miss Nancy Edwards lost a brother, Harry Turner. And Miss Clyde Gunter experienced the death of her only surviving sister, Marie Warden. So please remember them and lift them up and ask God to give them comfort and peace during this time. Please join me in a word of prayer, if you will. Father, we are grateful that life at its worst really can't defeat us. You tell us in your scripture that we're more than conquerors, not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Not only do we win ultimately in the end, and that we get to stand in your presence and live with you for all eternity, but Father, we are able to overcome the issues that we face in this life. Issues like sickness and death. Things that most of the time we really don't have any control over. They just come to us, and we have to deal with them however we can. But Lord, with you, things that are impossible for us are possible. In Christ, we face these issues and are able to overcome them to the point that they don't hinder our journey, They don't stop us from walking with you or prevent us from experiencing your presence and your power and your grace. In fact, they may at times magnify that power and that grace to the point that we see it and experience it at even a higher level than before. But that doesn't stop our pain and it doesn't stop our hurting. I pray, Father, that for those that are struggling today with physical illnesses, that they will find relief. I pray, Father, they will find an answer to their problems. I pray they will find peace where their hearts have been broken, comfort to replace their tears. I ask, Father, that your presence permeate their lives to the point that they no longer see their circumstances and the adversities that they face, but so that they will see Jesus, so that we will see our Lord in full view and realize that we are conquerors because He conquered. He conquered this life, lived it as no person ever did or ever will. He conquered death. And one day we too, who have put our faith in Jesus, will conquer death. Until that time, Father, I pray you'll use us and our circumstances to draw us closer to you and point other people to the cross so that others might know the peace and the comfort and the grace that is so prevalent in a relationship with you. Father, we give you praise and glory for being our God and our Savior. And we ask, Lord, that you will bless us as we further enter into worship. May our hearts and our minds be open and receptive to what you have to say to us this morning. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. This morning I have asked Ryan if he would please to deliver our message. He and Rebecca are home on sabbatical for a year, and of course, if you know anything about missionaries, that's usually a pretty busy time. They're visiting churches and supporters and going to conferences. And so I thought I'd try to get Ryan early in his sabbatical so that he could speak to us and encourage us and share with us his heart for missions and his missions, that the missions that he and Rebecca are involved in Mexico. So Ryan, if you would please come and speak to us. Are you going to do the video first? Okay.
Por aquí yo voy pasando, caminando, caminando. Cuando quiso vengar, Rocky no me quedó. Cuando quiso vengar, Rocky no me quedó. Dime para dónde, yo me voy ofreciendo. Dime para dónde, yo me voy ofreciendo. Cuando quiso vengar, Rocky no me quedó. Cuando quiso vengar, Rocky no me quedó.
Good morning, guten morgen, for those who talk Tokpisin, morning through. It's a pleasure to be with you all. Thank you, Larry, for this opportunity to share with what the Lord has been doing in us and through us these last 5.5 years. Again, just to Larry said, my name is Ryan Beachy. My wife, Rebecca, who is up singing with the choir. We've been married for 13 years. We actually met at Word of Life Bible Institute in upstate New York. Rebecca is actually born and raised in this church. If anyone asks you about the telescope incident with Rebecca and the paper towel roll, she can tell you. Penny remembers that one. Rebecca and I were married here, and then we were sent off sent from here to serve in Mexico back in 2009. It's a blessing to be with you all. We've traveled in the last 3 months. We've traveled over 6,000 miles. Spoke in 4 different states, but there's only one church on our information website that says sending church, and it is First Baptist Church of Collinsville. So in very much real sense, we're home. And so we thank you for the opportunity to share with you. The purpose really is not to talk about what we've done these last 5.5 years. That would be kind of self-defeating in and of itself, because really as we see this video, as you saw, we do not preach ourselves. But we preach what Christ has done in us and through us. And the goal I'd like to share with you is to give a testimony the Lord has been doing in and through our lives these last 5.5 years, but also two other things, kind of a theme throughout this message this morning. Who he has revealed himself to be in different stages of our lives, and what lessons he has had for us to learn. Now, I've got to go through this quickly because Milton tells me I have 15 minutes before he falls asleep. So now listen, just let Milton sleep. And if Milton starts falling asleep, just pray the missionary speaks faster and a little more clear, and then we'll all be good. Is that right, Milton? Is that okay? All right, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, that's right, I already woke up. Sorry. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts 14, verses 26 to 27. This could be kind of our springboard verse. People ask, why do missionaries take furloughs in the first place? I mean, you don't hear pastors taking a full year to go and just travel the country. And the reason why missionaries take furloughs is really based off of our example we have of the first missionary journey. You have Paul and Barnabas coming back after they had traveled. And it says this at the end of chapter 14. In verses 26 and 27, it says, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he'd opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And there remained no little time with the disciples. And so that is our purpose. That is our goal, is to share with those who for this last 5.5 years have stood with us through prayer, through financial support, through words of encouragement, through emails, and through the many cards we received from the card ministry. We thank you for those. That's our goal, is just to really brag about God, to give it a testimony, to give a confession, a public confession of God's faithfulness and grace that we've been able to see there in Mexico. Just a real brief, for those of you asking what do I actually do in Mexico, we are part of the Instituto Misionero Transcultural, or in other words in English, we are part of our Bible Training Institute for Mexican missionaries who are interested in missions. Now, I would say Mexican, but really, I have to give a little bit of a a description on that. It's not all Mexican who come through our train. We have some from Guatemala. We have one from Honduras also as well, and they don't like to be called Mexicans. Yes, they speak Spanish, and they're Latin kind of in nature, but they're not Mexican. So it's not just all Mexican believers who are being trained to one day actually reach tribal people. For those of you who don't know, New Tribes Mission exists for the sole purpose of reaching tribal people with the gospel of Christ. We work in over 30 different countries. We have over 18 different sending countries alone. And Mexico, for the first time, praise the Lord, it's one of our prayer, praise times, is that Mexico, for the first time, instead of just being a receiving group, we've now sent our first missionary to Colombia. There are two others. So there's a couple who just graduated, and they're going up to the United States to study English now as they're heading out to East Africa, Southeast Africa, just north of Mozambique. We have another one who's also in the States studying English to head to Papua New Guinea. So God is really equipping and really getting our Mexican brothers to understand, the brothers and sisters, to understand the Great Commission is not just for white people. It's not just for those who speak English. It is for every believer. One pastor says there's three options for every believer when it comes to the Great Commission. Only three. There's no others. The first one is to go. That is that you have sensed God's working in your life, God's calling your life to go out and actually be there, to study another language, to study another culture, to be somewhere different from where you grew up. If that's not your first option, the second option is to give or to be supportive. Now, that can be through financial support or through prayer support. Those are the only two options that we would call underneath the umbrella of obedience. The third option, which can be an option for believers, is disobey. That's it, folks. There's only three: to go, to support, or to disobey. And what these Mexican believers, what our brothers and sisters south of the border, our understanding is the Great Commission is for them as well. And God has allowed Rebecca and I to have the privilege and opportunity to be part of that ministry. Well, the best place to start off is in a word of prayer. So join with me. Let's dedicate this time to the Lord one more time. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you use weak and frail vessels for your honor and glory. I just want to dedicate this time once more to you, that it would be an act of worship to you, that the words that I share and just giving testimony of your greatness would be glorifying to you first and edifying to my brothers and sisters as well. I thank you that you are the good shepherd. I thank you that you are still seeking those who are lost. It's your name we pray. Amen. Well, the first place I guess we start is real quick from the beginning. Many of you have asked us before we left back in 2008. We left here, I think it was December 28th, 2008, to travel the 35 hours from here all the way to El Paso, Texas. People ask, where do you guys live? Well, if you got a finger, kind of do this, and you kind of think of Texas. I know the gun of Texas is not as long, but anyways, and that thumb, the very tip of the thumb, kind of the thumbnail, is the city of El Paso, about 500,000 people. Across from that, many of you heard this city, at least through the news, is a place that here they say Juarez, but in Mexico we call it La Ciudad de Juarez. And in Juarez, it was one of the most dangerous places of the world. Actually, at one time, it was more dangerous than Iraq and Afghanistan combined. Interesting thing, they crossed the Rio Grande, which is not very grande, it's not very big, is one of the safest cities of the United States. El Paso was rated the top 25 safest cities of 500,000 people of all the United States. And across the Rio Grande was one of the most dangerous places in the whole entire world. Well, 5 hours south of that border is where you saw the picture, La Ciudad de Chihuahua, or the city of Chihuahua. It's the capital of the state of Chihuahua. So we live in Chihuahua, Mexico. And no, folks, has nothing to do with a short little dog, looks like a rat, and has big ears. Has nothing to do with things like that, as it really means about the joining of waters. But that's where we live. And one of the things that we notice is many people ask the same question, aren't you guys afraid of the danger? Don't you watch the news? Don't you read the news? Don't you know that Mexico is not a safe place? And folks, I can tell you, 5 minutes being in Mexico, we are very quite aware that it not being safe. Being 5 minutes, so we were only 5 minutes fresh into Mexico, only about a few hundred yards from our home country. And we're greeted with soldiers with big assault rifles and a guy standing on the back of a Humvee with a 50 caliber rifle, or 50 caliber on his Humvee. And that was our introduction. Bienvenido a Mexico. That was welcome to Mexico. So yes, we understood that Mexico was not a safe place. We arrived that evening, January 3rd, 2009, and that very first night we were there, we heard our first shootout. And that was the first of many that we heard. There's a saying, you just don't stay outdoors when it gets dark. When it gets dark, you just come indoors and just stay away from the windows. All the windows have bars. All the patios have barbed wire. That's just kind of life. Well, what happened was when we arrived in 2009, we were in the middle of kind of the height of the drug war. Felipe Calderon had declared war on the drug cartels. And what happened was they started fighting amongst themselves for the traffic routes. And that went right through the heart of Chihuahua. And so night after night, day after day, we were very much aware of the danger that stood before us. But here's the thing, folks. Here's the thing that God was revealing to us, is that He is who He has declared Himself to be, and He is our protector and our refuge. It says this in Psalms 28:7. He says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to Him." God never promised us that we would not get injured. God never said, if you trust me, Ryan, Rebecca, and Caleb, and then later we had two that were born there, Naomi, who's 5, and Judah, who's 2, both are little Mexicanos. They have dual citizenship. He never said, guys, if you trust me, you won't face any danger. You won't face any of these situations. Now, He showed Himself to be faithful. I have many stories to share, and I won't be able to share them this morning, of literally seeing the hand of God work. And actually, I believe I shared one when we were with you guys in 2010. I've literally missed an assassination in the same parking lot we were at within 2 hours. But there was more things that happened after we left here from 2010. Ruben, one of the men that you saw in the picture there, he was showing you what he was eating, and I was standing behind him with a smile, is not with us anymore. Ruben was a business owner, not part of the cartels at all, but he wanted to take a stand and get the extortion. One of the things that really face us as missionaries, as foreigners, is not necessarily violence from the cartel. They actually say, stay away from them. We don't need the bad press. But with the military and the federales and all the other police engaged with the cartels, you get a lot of petty crime. And you get guys trying to earn a quick buck. And so you have things like kidnappings and extortion and, of course, holdups. Ruben was a business owner. And just to kind of, for the sake of time, was kidnapped from one of his, a party he was at, a family party. He was one of the first, Ruben Carmen and the four kids were the first Mexican family to really welcome us into Mexico. After we left here from you guys and we arrived, we had heard that he had been kidnapped and they were waiting to hear what kind of ransom they were demanding. But 2 weeks later, we heard that they had found his car and there was a dead body, but they don't think it was Ruben, because they couldn't identify it because it had been burned. A few days later go by, and we got a call from Carmen at 6:30 in the morning asking us to go to the funeral. They had found through dental records that indeed it was Ruben who had been shot and then burned in his car as a sign to those who didn't want to pay protection. The violence was real, folks. The violence was in our face. But here's a lesson. Here's a lesson that God was teaching us, is this. It is better to face danger in faith than to stay and cower in comfort because of fear. He is worthy of our trust. He is worthy of following Him, even though we might face things like swine flu. It wasn't bad enough that we were facing the danger at night from the being the wrong place at the wrong time, and now we had to start avoiding our friends. Swine flu hit. If you guys remember that in 2009, it was coming up through Mexico, and a lot of people were getting very scared about it. Rebecca was 6 months pregnant with Naomi. So not only did we have to kind of be careful of being the wrong place at the wrong time, now we had to be careful of our own friends. And yet still we looked at each other and say, you know what? By faith, we do not feel the Lord is calling us away. It is better, folks, whatever you're facing right now, this is not just for missionaries. It is better to follow the Lord by faith and to face whatever dangers might come our way, whatever circumstances may happen, than to stay and cower in the what ifs. But thankfully, after time, in 2011, the big dog chased out the little dogs, and things started to calm down. The time of danger began to cease, and we came into a new stage of life, another lesson God had for us, another way He wanted to reveal Himself to us. So we left the time of danger and came to a time of decision. As you saw in the video, Rebecca and I had the opportunity, as well as Caleb and the kids as well, to be involved in what we call community projects. Different aspects that just to show the government who was signing our visas off that we weren't just there for our benefit, but also for the benefit of the community as well. And so we got involved in teaching English. I got the opportunity to be an assistant coach at a baseball school. Rebecca and I got to go and visit orphanages And as you saw in the Brickyard Ministry, got to go and help, and we did literacy as well as teaching the Bible there. So these are things that we were plugged into as we studied Spanish for about 2.5 years. But it came time to the point where leadership says, guys, you are progressing well in the language. It is time to get plugged in with what our goal is, and that is to reach tribal people with the gospel. What do you guys think that you'd like to be involved in? And we had shared with you before our heart's desire back in 2010, the goal of being involved in national training, actually being part of training other Mexican brothers and sisters to go and reach the world themselves. But leadership came back and said, okay, we don't have a whole lot of openings. Right now, the only opening we have is in Mexico City. If you remember, for those who were there that Sunday night, I got to show some pictures of when we were down in Mexico City. It was literally like trying to force a square peg into a round hole. You know, if you hit it with a hard enough hammer, you can get it to force through, but it just didn't seem the right fit. But that was the only option at the time. And they said, here's what, guys, you have still another 6 more months. Ryan, you have studied Spanish for 2.5 years, and Rekha as well. Not as much because of kids being in house, of course. But in order for you to be equipped to teach the Bible in Spanish, we'd like you to study Spanish for another 6 months. 6 more months. And so I got involved at the Bible school as a student, not as a teacher, but as a student, just so I could get more vocabulary, things that you cannot learn just from a one-on-one language session. But during that time, he kept asking the Lord. I remember having a conversation with Larry, and if you remember that, Larry, sitting in Larry's office and going, Larry, what should we do? Should we go to Mexico City or not? And everywhere we turned, asking people for counsel and asking people for their opinion, seeking wise counsel, as is very biblical to do, and not finding an answer. And it seemed like the answer that we kept getting is one of the hardest answers that we received. What is that answer, folks? It's not yes or no, it's wait. Wait. Just wait. Not yet. Just wait a little bit more. We would sometimes rather have a door slam on our face than it to kind of creak open from time to time, wouldn't we? We found ourselves in the same position we find in Deuteronomy chapter 1. It's very interesting. You want to turn there right now. Deuteronomy chapter 1. The writer begins Deuteronomy this way in verse 2. He says, it is normally an 11-day journey from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea via the Mount Sinai Road. Normally 11-day journey from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea via the Mount Sinai Road. And in the 40th year. Now, did you catch that? Did you catch that, Milton? Don't fall asleep on that one. It is normally 11 days from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea. And in the 40th year. Why do they say that? Because they traveled. They could have got to their destination. In 11 days, 40 years later, what was happening to the children of Israel? They were still wondering. The question is why? Why were they wondering for 40 years? And the answer is found in Deuteronomy chapter 8, 2 through 3. It says this, and you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The quickest route, this is what Rabbi Zacharias says, says the quickest route is not often the best route, for we might miss some of life's greatest lessons. I'll read it again. It says the quickest route is not often the best route, for we might miss some of life's greatest lesson. So God was saying, Ryan, Rebecca, wait, that was lesson number one. Be faithful to what I have already given you as you're waiting for what I have in store for you. Youth, right now, wondering what God has for you. This is what he's saying. Wait. Be faithful to what I have for you now as I get ready for what I have to prepare for you later on. There was a second lesson he had as well. We were going to Larry, talked with him while we were here in 2010, talking to leadership, seeking counsel, not getting the answer, and by the grace of God, he taught us this lesson as well. Folks, while it is good to seek after biblical counsel, to seek after men and women who are older than us, who are more mature in the faith, here's a lesson that God is teaching us. Our ultimate answer does not come from them. We will not stand before the throne of grace and say, but he told me to. We are the ones that have to come before the living God and say, I will follow you and what you have in store for me. It is very hard, especially in ministry, because we want to serve people to forget that we're not serving the people themselves. We're serving the Lord as we serve people. And what he was teaching us, not just being patient, not just waiting for that answer, but to find the answer, not from leadership, not even from pastor or Joey or anyone other, but to find ultimately from him, to follow him in what he has for us. He is our good shepherd, and he will lead us and guide us. For lack of time, just to kind of wrap it up, what happened was there was an opening in Chihuahua. They found out they're going to lose two teachers, and so they needed a fourth. And so we were able to get plugged in. But the director was very kind and gracious. He only gave me one class that first semester. Now, youth have heard this story already. So, Milton, you got to stay awake, but youth, you guys want to fall asleep a little bit? Then I'll tell you when to wake up, okay? So they gave me one class that first semester, class of Philippians. Not a very controversial kind of book. There's nothing that's really heavy hitting. It's mostly Paul telling his thanks and praise to the Lord for the Philippians for their gracious gift and their involvement in the ministry. And on top of that, God in his grace allowed me to have 40 hours just to get ready for 1 hour class. Now, you got to understand this, folks. It wasn't just studying the text that took most of the time. I would say maybe 25% of that was studying the actual text. The other 75%, what was that? Getting ready for the Spanish. How to say it in another language. But it was okay. 40 hours, 1 hour, not too bad. It wasn't without its mistakes. Real briefly, just share this one story. We were ending chapter 4 of Philippians, and in chapter 4 is talking about how do we, in light of the joy that God wants us to have, in the joy that he gives us, how do we deal with stress, with anxiety? And it's there in chapter 4. And I was trying to give an illustration. I not only have people college age, but also I had a few mothers who their children were out of the house, and so they wanted to take a few Bible classes, and I wanted to involve them in the lesson as well. And so I was sharing, making an illustration, and I said, you single people don't understand what it's like to be a parent, because not only do you worry about your own spiritual well-being, not only do you worry about how your walk is with the Lord, but then also you're worried about, and I wanted to use the phrase, loved ones. And in Spanish, that phrase is seres queridos. If you want to study Spanish today, that's for loved ones, it's seres queridos. But unfortunately, as my brain was spinning and I came to a word that I kind of knew but hadn't used too much, I began to stumble, and I thought, okay, I'm not going to ask for help this time. I'm going to try to learn, I'm trying to figure it out myself. And I was saying, okay, so mothers not only worry about themselves, worry about their spiritual growth, but they also worry about sus amantes. Now, if you spoke Spanish, many of your eyeballs would be doing this right now. Here's what I said. Not only do mothers worry about their own spiritual growth, they worry about how they're doing, but they also worry about their lovers. Now, you talk about the grace of the Lord, but also you have the grace of the listeners. No one said anything. They literally said this. And I knew I'd made a mistake. And I said, oh, wait. I mean like, brothers and sisters and kids. They said, oh, seres queridos. But that was just, that was a little bit of a mistake there. But so after, anyways, that class was ended. And the director comes up to me and says, Ryan, the students have learned. You survived this first semester. We're going to invite you to come back for the second, and then we're going to give you more classes. I said, okay, you know what? 40 hours, 1 hour class, bring it on. Felt kind of confident, but confident success does not mean faithful dependence. I had to learn that the hard way. As we talked about, as Tom was talking this morning in Sunday school, about the dependence on the Lord, the same thing can happen even in ministry. Second semester, I had one, if you remember Philippians, it was 1 hour, 15 weeks, 15-hour class, 40 hours study for 1 hour. Second semester, I had two classes. I didn't think it was too bad. Acts was a 45-hour class, 3 hours a week for 15 weeks. And Colossians was a 30-hour class, so 2 hours for 15 weeks. And I remember getting these classes, and I thought, this is heavy stuff. This is going to be a lot more studying, a lot more preparation. But I think I can do it. I think I'll be okay. And I remember these two lessons that God was sharing. To have an effective, God-honoring teaching ministry requires hard work, dedication, of course, much studying, like it says in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says this, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. It also says in 1 Timothy 4:15 through 16, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, and for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And so I was studying, getting ready. You know, I wanted to do well. A workman not needing to be ashamed, rightly dividing. That literally means rightly cutting the word of truth. But as I shared with the youth, God in His sovereignty and grace and mercy and patience had to bring us to the end of our rope. God doesn't want ministers who can be self-reliant. God doesn't want ministers who can pull their own bootstraps up by themselves. We think that's in the Bible. It may be in the first book of opinions, but it's not in the Bible. It is a lie that I shared with the youth that Thursday night. It is a lie from the Garden of Eden itself. You can live as if God didn't exist. And that temptation still exists, even in ministry. But God in His grace wants His ministers. He wants His children, not just the pastor. He wants His children to be fruit bearers. And sometimes he brings to the point where we cannot handle it anymore. There was discouragement. There was frustration. There were mistakes that weren't funny, like the talking about lovers. It was day after day, not necessarily in the text, but just in the Spanish. There was no sense that I could do this myself if I just study a little bit more. And I was at the point of quitting my first year. I said, This is ridiculous. What was I thinking? Rebecca saying, Rebecca and her patients as well tried to encourage and asked me to talk to somebody just to find some type of direction or counsel. And God in His grace sent the leader, one of our leaders of the mission. His name is Marsh Milliken. And Marsh didn't ask a very deep, profound question. He just came one day after I was studying there at the school, and he says, Ryan, how you doing? I said, Marsh, I said, I'm tired. I'm very, very, very tired. He says, I know God is with me. I know His grace is sufficient. But Marsh, it feels like God's hand is just pushing down. It's just pushing down. I know His hand's on the thermometer, or thermostat, I mean. I know that He is the one that's controlling the flames, but just feel His hand pushing down. I know His hand is sustaining me. I can't do this. I cannot get across what needs to be getting across. I cannot do this. And Marsh said, Ryan, don't you think that God wants to use your inability to encourage those who also one day face their inabilities? It's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, the God of all comfort who comforts us so that we might be able to comfort others with what? The comfort we have received. The other lesson he had to share was this. It says, while having an effective God-honoring teaching ministry requires hard work, to have an effective God-honoring teaching ministry requires a daily rest and reliance on Him. John 15, 4 through 5, quickly says this. It says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do, say it folks, nothing. In Spanish, the word is nada. No puedes hacer nada. You cannot do no thing. God wants us to be fruit bearers. God wants us to bear much fruit. But He does not want us to try to bear fruit apart from Him. He allows us to come to the end of our rope. So as Tom said, we look to Him in that time of need. As that kind of stage in our life closed, that time of determination and difficulty, God revealed Himself to us in two ways. First, that He is our rest. He is our rest. Not TV, not even family time, although it's a good thing. He is the one we find that rest. And, as it says in Hebrews 13, 6, He is our sustainer. It says this, so we can commonly say, the Lord is my helper. He is my sustainer. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Well, folks, I'm going to wrap this up with this last one. As we left the time of danger, and we had come out of a time of decision, seeing God's faithfulness, seeing Him as our counselor, as we had gone through the time of difficulty, determination, and perseverance, as He is our rest, He is our sustainer, these last probably 12, 13 months while we were there in Mexico, in time of great delight. not easiness. Listen very carefully. Not easiness. The load got heavier, if you believe it or not. The load got heavier. I had more classes, more speaking engagements, more ministry. Life happening. We have 3 kids now. Before, we had only 2. Love them all, but not easy. Paul was right when he shared his testimony in there in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. So even though I had received such wonderful revelation from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 times I begged to the Lord to take it away. Each time he said to me, Paul, suck it up. Is that what it says? In the first book of Opinions, it says that, huh? Paul, get over yourself. Quit crying. Everyone's watching. No, what does it say? My grace. Those who have the NLT, it says this. It says, my grace is all you need. For my power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so the power of Christ can work through me. What we had found through our time, our experiences there, is that we have nothing to brag about, nothing to boast about. There's nothing left for us to brag. We are merely examples of grace, mercy, and the patience of the Lord. As Paul said also there in 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 17, it says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I don't have time to share with you, but the opportunities we got to see of God reaching out to those who were literally reaching their end of their rope, students who are getting ready to quit 4 weeks into their graduation. They had been there for 2 years, only had 4 weeks left, and they wanted to quit. 2 young boys who had dropped out of, or have been kicked out more or less, out of high school because of bad grades. Their mothers didn't want them to sit and play PlayStation all day and said, hey, would you take them? So he said, sure. And this gringo right here, this American Study Before You, had the opportunity of leading both of these young boys to the Lord as they were studying at a Bible school. The opportunity of seeing 2 indigenous people, Erendira Flores, who is Cora. She's Mexican by citizenship, but she is Cora, through and through Cora. Her first language is not Spanish. It is Cora. To see her come, and her Spanish is good enough, a lot better than most of us even teaching. To see her come and just understand how legalistic she had been raised, being taught the Bible, but grace was something you used to bash someone over the head. To hear of Vicente Tigre, who is a Guarajillo, who literally faced down barrels, rifles that is, barrel of a gun, as he's running away from not just cartels, but also from the military. And how God radically changed his life. Why, folks? Why would God allow us to do those things? Because we deserve it? No. As Paul says, examples of his grace, mercy, and patience. Who is God revealing himself to this? And with this I close. In this time of delight, we had found that our delight wasn't in the ministry, although we enjoy it. We really, really enjoy it. But that God is our joy and our reward. He had the lesson to teach us this. To find our identity and fulfillment in who we are in Christ. Many of you know that before Mexico, we served in New Guinea for 2 years. And folks, I can tell you, sadly, that was not a lesson we learned on the field. We had to come back from that field to learn that lesson. For us to serve in New Guinea for 2 years, our identity was wrapped up solely in being travel missionaries, the New Tribes Mission in Papua New Guinea. That's who we were. We did everything we could to try to keep that identity. And God said, I will not share my glory with anyone. I have no other gods before me, and that's including missionary life. So God in his grace has reminded us time and time again, as a good shepherd he is, that our identity, our joy, our reward is found in our relationship with him, not in our accomplishments. They could close the border today. We could get an email, and I mean, I've shared this on different occasions, and I still mean it today. They could close the school today, and it'd be okay. Would it be sad? Yes. I love being with you, But tomorrow is the first day of the Bible school, and I miss being there. I miss seeing the excitement of the students. I miss getting ready for that first few classes. I miss seeing what God's going to do in the hearts and lives of people who's taking that step of faith and saying, I don't know, God, what you're going to have for me, but I at least want to know more about the Bible and know about you. But it's okay if they close that. Why? Because our identity is now firmly planted in the person of Christ, not in our position in ministry. We found this to be true in Colossians 2, 9 and 10. It says this, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, speaking of Christ, and you are complete in him who is ahead of all principality and power. I'd like to ask Rebecca and Caleb to come up with me if they would. We're going to sing, we're going to share a song with you that has kind of been a new theme for the Bible school. It is a hymn that was written back in 1851 by Aaron Wolfe. It's entitled Complete in Thee. It's right here, guys. Here. Complete in Thee. We're going to sing the third stanza in Spanish, but I'm going to read to you what it says in English. It says this, it says, complete in thee, no more shall sin, thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. We're going to sing these first three verses as a family. I'm going to go to the piano here, and then they're going to sing. But I'd like to invite you all to sing with us in the fourth stanza. That's why Jeremy's put up the words for you. The fourth verse says, dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among the chosen I shall be at thy right hand complete in thee. But folks, I couldn't fall asleep last night. To be honest, I was kind of tossing and turning, thinking about ending this, and a thought came to me. There's a danger, Ryan, in having everyone sing this. I want to voice it now. I want to talk to those who are my friends but not my brothers or sisters. I'm not going to assume just because you came to Sunday morning service that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. To do that would be foolish and be a disservice to you. If you are coming to play the part of Christian but you do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, this song is not true for you. You are not complete in Him. That the struggles, the trying to find fulfillment, the trying to find purpose in life's things, or maybe in your list of rules, even in being a good person, leaves you empty as you leave this place if you do not come to the foot of the cross. The answers that you seek are found starting with Christ. I say this to my students in the book of Colossians, we're studying the book of Colossians. The greatest question that needs to be answered is, who is Christ? If you answer it wrong, it will cost you all eternity. If you say Christ was a good prophet, if Christ was a good teacher, if Christ was just someone who had bad luck and suffered on the cross, it will cost you the rest of eternity. But if you come to that answer, come to that point where you're saying, Christ is my Savior, He is my Lord, then you can sing this song with joy and gladness, and with excitement, saying, I am complete in Christ. With all my past failures, with all my future accomplishments, it doesn't matter. I am complete in Him. I want to call to my brothers and sisters now who are struggling even today to find that completeness. You have come to the foot of the cross. You have placed your faith in Christ, and you are still struggling. I don't say shame on you. I've been there. I know it. My invitation is to you to sing that song, and hold that, what Paul says in Colossians 2, 9, and 10. We are complete. Folks, that doesn't mean complete and a little lacking. It means fully complete in Christ. We have been adopted by the blood of the Lamb, and we can sing this song with joy. So, as I said, Rebecca and Caleb and I will sing the first three verses, but when there's a key change, you hear the key change, and Rebecca, if you could lift your hand or something like that and get them going. I'd like to invite you all to stand and sing with us this fourth verse as that moment we're all excited when from every tribe, tongue, and nation we will stand before the throne and sing a new song to Him. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
Oh, wait, you got to hold the button down. Hold the button down.
Take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and I am now complete in thee.
Complete in thee's want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Completo en ti podré vencer, tu gracia ya me liberó, y del pecado libre soy, y quedaré completo en ti. Yea, justified, oh blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Please stand.
Dear Savior, wed me for thy bar, all tribes and tongues assembled are, among the chosen I shall be, at thy right hand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. The blood hath bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
We just want to say thank you for your many prayers. You're standing with us as your missionaries. If you want to hear more details about what God has been doing in us and through us, we'd like to invite you to, I believe it's the Faith Sunday School, is that correct? Hope the Faith Sunday School. Next Sunday we're going to be sharing just a little more details about what's going on. But folks, I hope that prayer is true for you, that song is true for you, that you are complete in Christ, that you find your fulfillment, you find your purpose in Him, and everything else is just all secondary. Would you join with me as we close in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for opportunities to give testimony about you. We thank you that you are the good shepherd. We thank you that you are our Father who loves us, who guides us, who protects us, who leads us, and you are our great joy and reward. I pray that for those who are struggling in their walk with you, that their hearts may have been encouraged and challenged, and those who are already stepping out might even have more strength and courage today. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the reason why we even have that joy and hope. In his name we pray, amen. You are dismissed.